So we have Bo Menei Merula, right? Alech and Kibbutz Avayim, right? That's what we're doing again. Mm-hmm. Right, so how far does Kibbutz go? So I'm on Tsuru, Masu, Kob, Nechel, Bashkon, Dama, Messina, Shema. Pama, Vikshachon, Prak, Maju, Shishan, Rebo, Skarva, Mavdech, Munif, Tachos, Vashal, Shalav, Filotiro. So he had this $600,000 of a business under his father's pillow. Basically, he didn't wake him up. Right? Okay, that's how far it goes. That's how far it goes. I'm going to read Rav Shmuel. So Rabbi Elazar, I didn't give it away. I want to see Rav Shmuel. I'm going 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 to see Rav Shmuel. So then he got the Parduma next year. So I know I could charge any amount for this Parduma, but I'm only going to charge that same 600 or 800,000. Okay. If you see the schar that an Eim Tzuvosa gets, a guy who's not Mitzuvah, and Kibbutz, certainly one who's Mitzuvah. Right? Fine. And then he says, next, skip a little bit. Says, Kibbutz of Dimi, Pamach Zayelav Shikin Shalzav, Yeshua Nil Romi, Basa Ima, Bekras, Amin, Tapcha, while Roshav Yerkel, Fana Velechlima. So the same guy was once dressed up amongst the Roman Gedolim, and he's wearing this fancy golden clothing. And his mother came and ripped it off, spit in his face, right? Hit him, and he basically didn't say anything. Okay, so these are basically the extent that, to which a person has to go and do whatever. Do you have to go beyond this extent, or this is like the deadline? Is this the cutoff? It's like, it's a funny question. I didn't give it how far. So this far, it's also like, what are you supposed to do? If you have a case, now what are you going to do? Compare the, your case against their case? Like, what is, like, it's just a funny answer, wasn't it? Until how far? So what's the answer exactly? Is it 600,000, 800,000? Let's say it's 900,000. Then you have, like, what's the question and what's the answer, you know? Also, let me ask you a question. Do you have to spend your own money for Kibbutz Avayim?
No.
It's Machlokas. Okay? It's Machlokas in the Gemara. We all know. Right? Unless their father's an Ani, whatever. But essentially, you don't have to. So what do you mean you have to spend? How much? They asked that question, by the way. Is what, Domus, you have to lose $800,000, $600,000? What do you mean? It's not true. Give it away. It doesn't entail that you lose your money. Now you don't have to spend your money. So, according to the way we hold, is no. It's the father's money. So they say, that's what's like number one. They say, there are two answers they say. They say, one answer they say is that you don't have to spend your money. But here, it was just you're not getting a profit. Because you don't have to spend money for your father. But you have to be willing to give up any profit. Any profit. The other answer they say is that that's to spend money to be mechaber him. But here, it was going to actually be mitzarim, like in a negative way. So that, you can't, that much you'd have to spend money to make sure he doesn't have tzar. But the case that we hold, you don't have to spend money to, you know, to buy him stuff, to get, you know. But either way, my point is that you see there are limits. It's not a lot. Like, if you read this Gemara, you think, Arech HaKibbutz Avayim means you got to give up all the money in the world. You think it's you know, sounds like it's endless. But what do you mean, Arech? If my father doesn't have money, or I don't have money, I don't have to even spend my money on it. So what do you mean, Arech HaKibbutz Avayim? I mean, isn't that funny? I mean, it sounds like here, basically, it's endless. But it turns out it's not true. I don't really have to even spend my money. It's a little funny. And also he asked, how are you learning from a guy, right? It's because we're all together. And he sees, and so what's it say? Mar Heichon, and does the Chiv Kibbutz Avayim go? So what's it showing, this guy? First of all, even if this guy were a Jew, it's just showing you that he did that. Does that mean a Mechiv to do that? How do I know that's the Chiv? And even, but he's not even a Jew, so this is what he did, so it's very nice. So what is that? Who cares? What do you learn from there? Right? Why is he getting schar?
Huh?
Well, keep it away, you get big schar. Yeah. It seems like this guy was a high-level guy. I mean, I don't know if it means he was a mamish, but it was a czar. I mean, he was a guy, maybe he's changed, you know. But it seems like this guy is at a high level. Seems like he's at a high level. I mean, he's getting a scar for it. He's at a high level. But the question is, whether we asked also last time, is why did he only take for the Paraduma that much money? Why didn't he take? How much Paraduma worth? If it's worth $1 billion, why didn't he take $1 billion? Why is he cutting himself short? Well, what's the point of that? I mean, whatever it's worth, he should take. Why should he take exactly that amount? It just sounds funny. Why should he only take that? Right, those are our questions. Were there any questions? Any other questions?
It's true. It's a funny halacha question. I mean, until how much money you have to spend, or how much... I mean, why is it coming to money? I mean, if you tell me it's a normal halacha, you normally have a principal. A mitzvah, say it's a fifth year of a problem, whatever it is, however much you have to spend. I mean, and it seems like... Or unless you'll say no, that here he's actually violating the thing. So then, when do you put prices on mitzvahs? Like, well, the whole question is a funny question. What's it asking? What's it even asking God Hechon Kiyotavayim? And we said it's not just philosophy. So you'd say it's not philosophy. It's not a lot of philosophy, but the Rambam has it, right? What's funny about the Gemara is on Hechon Kiyotavayim, if it's a halachic thing, I mean, it's just like it's a very open-ended. Like, what kind of answer is this? Even like this story? I mean, that's not a halachic formulation, the stories. I mean, what's the halacha? Tell me, what's the halacha? You know, what kind of thing is this? Okay, the other question was about the father. Like, it just sounds far-fetched. I mean, you really can't wake up your father for that much money? I mean, is that true? Or, I mean, you think your father would want you to? I mean, you'd imagine, right? I mean, I would think that you'd probably... I mean, unless you say it's a mistake, you have no right to assume that your father would want you to, but... And it just seems like it's... I mean, it does seem, it strikes you, Arechan, it is pretty Arechan, you know? It's interesting. I mean, that's just interesting. I mean, is that really true? What could you learn from that? Or could you explain that a little bit? So, I was thinking like this. That... The question is, when you deal with Kavod... So, what's Kavod mean? Kavod means, like, you're honoring the guy. What's honor mean? It means that he's like a chash of a guy, right? Like, and in general, honor. Honor means that this guy is a chash of, and I have to express his significance through doing action. After doing certain actions of expressing that significance. So I'm like, so to speak, subordinating myself to an expression of his significance, right? If I'm going to serve him, if I stand up for him, it means I'm saying, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to stand up, because this is an important guy. I have to show he's important. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to do actions of servitude. It means I'm taking my time and energy, and I'm devoting it towards him, because he's significant. And therefore, his significance demands that I subordinate myself towards him. Okay? So in kavod, the cause of kavod is always the significance of the person who you're being mechaved. And the response is that because of that significance, I'm supporting myself to that person. Okay? You with me? Okay. Now, the question you always have to ask yourself is, how significant is this person? Okay? Because if a person is significant, let's say your boss is significant, or, you know, so say mechaved him. Let's say you stand up for him. You'll get him a drink if he needs a drink, you know what I mean? But are you going to cancel your weekend plans to go and help him out, to serve him at his, you know, and his yacht, I don't know, whatever it is. I mean, he's not that significant. But it's always have the significance, it lends all the degrees. You could have one guy's certain level of significance, a boss maybe a different level, the president of the United States maybe a different level, a king maybe a different level. You know, the question is, and depending on how significant he is, you're going to go to a further extent in order to express his significance. If he's 100 significance points, then you're going to do a lot of stuff because in order to save him, you're going to spend millions of dollars on the guy. If he's only 50, you know. So whenever you say that a guy is deserving of kavod, the question has to come to your mind, how deserving of kavod is he? How significant is he? So to that, I must subordinate myself towards that person. But that's a question that has to be asked when you have to be mechaved a guy. How far do I have to go? Which is based upon how significant is the guy, relative to me, I guess. How much do I have to put him above my money? Put him above a lot of money? Do I have to just do a gesture? Do I have, you know, right? Put him above my time? How much time? I mean, these are questions which naturally present themselves. How significant is he? So I think what it's saying is that the answer, what's the answer? How significant is the father? I think the answer is he's like infinitely significant.
Okay, you can't put a limit on the significance. There's no limit. See, the stories are basically, I don't think they're saying 600,000. Like I think Michael said, I don't think it means if you would have gone to a billion, then he would have said, no, sorry, I'm not doing it. I mean, there basically means, and why is it? Why is the infinitely significant? Because it's not covered for the person. It's covered for Shemayim. Right? It's covered for who he is a shutaf with. And in your borei, think of him as your borei, who is a shutaf in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your bria. And God allows you to relate to him in that manner. And a kavod to him, to the he who brought you into this world, is kavod to the entire shutfas, which is Kavod Shemayim. So what it's saying is you can't put a limit on Kavod Shemayim. You can't say, how significant is God? You can say, only a certain significance? It's not shayach. There's no limit. And since this is the mitzvah is tied up with Kavod Shemayim, that you're mechaved him, it's like the Gemara says, if you're mechaved your father, it's as if you're mechaved a God, it's as if he's darben him and you're kibikim duni. So therefore, the significance, you can't put a limit and say that he's only significant up until, me spending a few minutes, or up until me spending a few bucks. But you can't say he's more significant than all the money in the world. He's more significant than 600,000 shekel, or more significant than 800,000 shekel. He's more significant than all the kavod in the world that he's going to spit on you, you're going to lose your, all this greatness and gedula and all. It's basically, I'm just throwing a lot of examples, because, like I know what David said, you could say he's infinitely significant, but examples bring out different facets. He's more significant than all these things. I mean, as the stories demonstrate, and through the extreme stories, it brings to mind what it really means. It doesn't. You'd say you have to do a lot of things. You have to get him dressed. Oh, okay, that's significant. The stories show you what it really means. Areichan means is that even though all it is off of his back is that you wake him up, which is minimal. So he wakes up and goes back to sleep. Big deal. You know what I mean? And for you, it's $1 billion. It's saying still. Why is that? Because it's the greatest thing for you. Does it equal to the smallest thing for him? I mean, that's the case. I think there are two aspects of the case. First, like you got so much from it, and well, he lost so little from it. I mean, but it's simply not to be mitzayer him is worthwhile of all this money. So I think that's what I think it's saying is that since Areichan Kibud Avaim Afilu, that's what they say. There's no limit. Areichan doesn't say. It's just Afilu, this and this and this. Still, you can't, you know what I mean? So it's Afilu. Until where? And let's say he doesn't, But I think he's trying to paint the craziest case that you could imagine. He spits on you, he's throwing you money, These crazy cases, all the money, to show you that basically there is no limit. The kavod intrinsically is an unlimited kavod because it's tied in with Kavod Shemayim. Right? I see, he'll say, but it's not true. You don't have to spend that much money on it. In fact, you don't spend any money on it, according to the way we hold. Right? How much money do you have to spend? According to this, you have to spend $1 million. So it's true. No, the only you have to spend money, it's only to prevent your profits. But if he's really infinitely significant, shouldn't you say that you should have to spend all your money on him? Like, how could you... Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? On the one hand, you're saying he's infinitely significant. On the other hand, you tell me that you don't spend any money on him. Right? So why not spend money? Apparently my money is more significant. I don't have to spend my money. So why isn't that a contradiction to this thing? The thing like this is that and this important answer is that, for instance, let's say you say mitzvah asay. Mitzvah asay is an expression of mekabel God's will, right? But you say, so how much do I have to spend on mitzvah asay? You don't say I have to spend infinite amount of money for mitzvah asay, right? So why not? God said do it, so do it. Right? But is God not more important than your money? But see, I think there's a difference between of course God's more important than your money. But that's not the way the halacha was set up. And there's a difference between the underlying idea of how important is God and how is it worth it for me? Is he more important than all my money? Versus does the system halachically does the system demand that? Does this demand that? Does it demand that I actually spend my money, or does it only demand that I don't lose it, whatever, So the other thing is that what they're saying here, Areichan Kibud Avaim, it means intrinsically, it's not asking for me practically what are the bounds of my obligation for Kibud Avaim. It's not asking that. It's not asking what are the halachic bounds of what I have to do. It's saying that kavod is a concept, that you have to be mechaved. Now in kavod, you always have to ask, kavod means I'm expressing his significance. How significant is he? Okay, that's what means Ahecha. I mean, how significant is he? You know what I mean? And I'll prove it to you, because it's by a guy. So you can't be learning out the halachic structure of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim from a guy, because he's a guy. He's not doing the mitzvah. He's just doing Kibbutz Avayim because he's moved by the idea of the Bore, and the, you know, because he's moved by the concept of Kibbutz Avayim. So the question is how significant is the father? Whereas when a person realizes the idea that the father is a shutaf and Mekadosh Baruch Hu, you know, b'riyaso, he is of infinite significance, and basically that could move a person to doing anything. That's the saying is that the father is of infinite significance. But that doesn't, now the question, you have another question, is what is the halachic system of me, and do I have to express that infinite significance in every single case? So it says no, you're not mechuyav. I mean, that's the sugya, that's the machlokas of whether you have to spend money or not. I mean, we'll do that sugya. I mean, hopefully we'll get to it, but that's not the question. That's the question in the halachic structure is, now do I have to express that significance under all circumstances, or under what do I have to do in expressing it? So for whatever reason, halachically, and whatever, you have to get into that. Maybe it wouldn't be practical. If I'm going to have to spend all my money, I'm going to end up having no money. I'm not going to end up being able to live my life, and that's not a good system. Whatever systematic reasons you want to give, I mean, you have to get into the system. But that's a halachic question. A halachic question is, Michel me. Do I have to spend the money, or do I use his money? So it turns out, I use his money. That's halachic. It doesn't mechayev me to spend money. It just mechayev me to do the actions of giving him his needs. What? No, but that's in the halachic system. It's not because the father isn't significant enough for my money. Of course he is. Of course he's more significant than all my money. But that doesn't mean that the mitzvah of kibbutz avayim is mechayev in that. But when the Gemara here is asking halachic kibbutz avayim, it's not asking that kind of a halacha of what is the structure of how far does the halachic system mechayev you in the thing. That's not what it's asking. It's saying in kavod, besides for the technical bounds of the thing, you have to understand the concept which precedes the technical lines which are drawn. And the concept is that you have to express respect and express the significance. How significant is he? So that's what it's saying is intrinsically he's a very super significant, more significant than anything you can imagine. There's no limit to his significance. That's what it's answering. Now, that's the starting point of the mitzvah. Now, then the separate question is now how far am I mechuyav to express that significance? That's the sugyas. You have to get into the sugyas. You know, that's why again, that's why you can learn it from a guy who's not a mitzvah, and you can even learn it from a story because he was doing it. He was a guy who fully appreciated the law. He was at a high level apparently, and he expressed on the concept. He through him you see the concept of how significant the father is. But you can't derive the structure of the mitzvah from him. That's not he's a guy, and he wasn't doing the mitzvah. He's just doing kibbutz avayim because he's moved by the idea. So that's why you could learn it out from him. You know what I mean? And that it's in line with what I'm saying he's trying to do here, you know? And the Rambam also is bringing it down, is to show you, don't think there's a limit on the concept of the kavod. But he's not telling you the halachic structure there. I mean, it's important for the Rambam to bring it down, because it's not a halacha like in this, the lines of the formulation, but the concept of kavod has to be part of the hilchos of kavod of how far is the concept. Is it a limited concept of kavod or is it unlimited? So he's telling you it's unlimited. That's areichon. Areichon means infinite. Until where? Even that. Even that means basically it's the craziest case you could possibly imagine. It's even there. Even that far. And that's why also I think it's saying would I have a havamina that I don't have to spend my money? I mean, you're right, if the mitzvah was that you have to spend all your money in the world, then of course it's no havamina. But it's saying is that how significant is he? So it depends. The Torah is making the mitzvah of kibbutz avayim because of the significance of the father. Now, how significant is the father? If the father were only a certain level of significance, maybe I wouldn't be chayav to spend $600,000 for him, maybe. And the Torah wouldn't be mechayav me, because the Torah is mechayav me based upon the significance of the guy. So if it depends how significant he is. But since it's saying it's of intimate significance, now, of course, whatever the Torah tells me, I'm going to have to do. You know what I mean? If it's a halachic question, you're right. Whatever the mitzvah is, it's not having me now, and I don't have to, I could violate it. But if it's trying to show you the extent of its significance, then it makes sense. It's showing you even this far. Because you might have thought, no, you might have thought he's not that significant. He's not more significant than all the money in the world. It's true, he's very significant, but not that significant. So the point is, kavod is a reality. Kavod isn't just an action. Kavod is expressing its significance. So the premise upon which a mitzvah of kavod is based is the how significant he is. So it has to be in the halacha. He has to tell you how significant is he. Now, once you know that he's infinitely significant, now then you could talk about, well, now, how did Halacha Tesei should express it? But it's you have to, in a sense, Kavod is a reality. It's expressing a reality of the person's significance. You have to tell me how significant he is, or is it limited, is it unlimited? I have to know that, because that's what the Kavod is. You have to tell me what it's based upon. But then you have the halakhic structure, which is put on top of it. And the structure says, do I have to spend my money? Do I not have to spend my money? What exactly do I do to express it? That's a different discussion. So the question is raised, Michael's raising it, that if the Rishonim do comment that they differentiate that here you see he's chayav to lose all his money, but you see you're not chayav to spend your money, so they're mechalik, they show the difference. No, because here he wasn't spending money, here he was just, you know, he wasn't losing money, he was just not getting a profit. Or here he was, his father was in Tsar, he was going to be Tsar, his father, versus not doing Kavod his father. So it seems like really it's a halachic thing. So if you tell me this is just a philosophical thing, and he's a guy, and who cares, this isn't halacha, then altogether, what's the kasha? There's no kasha altogether. One thing's halacha, and one thing's philosophy. But it could be, I'm saying, I mean, I want to look into it more, but it could be that it wouldn't be appropriate to bring down the story if, in fact, when it's showing you Arechan, if it was choosing an example of a story which goes beyond what halacha is really mechayev you. Even though philosophically it's true that it does go that far. But still, is that the Gemara shouldn't bring that story down. Choose a story which expresses the Arechan and shows how far it is, which is in line with what halacha is actually mechayev you in. So the fact that it chooses that story, it implies that it's also true that halachically you have to do this. I mean, that's also the case. It implies that. You know, so that's why it could be is that it's not true. You don't have to halachically do that. But it still doesn't mean it is telling you that is the halachic bounds. You know what I mean? Otherwise, if we're really telling halachic bounds, it should have said, Arechan kibud avayim, you have to lose money, but you don't have to spend money. Or it should have addressed that. I mean, it's not addressing that. It should have told you that. But it didn't do that. You know what I mean? So I'm saying is that that's not the sugya here. But it doesn't mean you don't want to contradict the sugya. You know what I mean? So you don't want to give an example that gives that implication. It sends some mixed messages. Even though philosophically it would be true, you would have to spend. It would be worth spending your money. But it could be there's a better answer. I mean, you have to define. Maybe when we get to it, we'll take it up and get back to it. But the question is, why don't you have to spend money? I mean, it could be if you have a good svara for that, why you don't have to spend money. It would be like, you say it's not really kavod. So let's say it's not really kavod. That's not kavod. Spending money is not kavod. Kavod means you give them a drink. Kavod doesn't mean you spend your money. So I just defined what kavod is. And when I defined what kavod is, I show you that not in line doesn't fit into a kavod. So I'm not saying it's because he's not significant enough. It's because that's not what kavod is. So, because kavod means that I have to use all my money to express to do kavod. But if you show me that that's not considered kavod, spending your money, because of this, again, I have to say why, then it wouldn't be a kasha altogether. Because it's simply, that's not what kavod, that isn't kavod. You know what I mean? I'm saying, you could argue that not preventing you from getting profit would be within kavod, but spending money wouldn't be within kavod. But it's based on how you define kavod, and so this Gemara really would be, because that's kavod, but that's not kavod. The kavod doesn't include that. I'm not sure if that really halacha says this is he's infinitely significant, but halacha cuts it short, or no, he really is infinitely significant, halacha doesn't cut it short, but that thing isn't kavod. It's just altogether not kavod. Okay. That's between two answers. The first answer saying is that really kavod is infinite, but halacha cuts it short because halacha is a halachic system and it cuts it short. Second way I'm saying is no, maybe really halacha doesn't cut it short. You have to really express it fully, but that's not kavod for whatever reason. When you do the sugi, you'll say. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is this other thing about the money, right? The why did he spend, the paraduma thing. Why did he spend, why did he only ask for 600,000, right?
Billion.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It's a difference. I mean, there's a difference. Different amounts. It's,
it's
not like money isn't an issue. Money's an issue. Okay. So you were saying, it's because say again now.
I just take it one step, that he wanted to tie the event back to the event with the kibbutz.
Right, okay, good. He wanted to tie it back. Why do you want to tie it back? Yeah, so maybe what Gary's approach is that he wanted to tie it, but that's his first step. It seems he wanted to tie it back to that event, to the give it up. Now, what did he do? It could be that he held So you see it's schar. You see the Gemara saying it's schar. I didn't know it's schar. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it just happened. But I mean, it seems like it's saying it's this thing is so rare. No one gets part of Dilma. It's like a very, very, very rare thing, you know? So apparently when he got the Paraduma, he realized that it's not just a natural thing. I mean, the odds are so far-fetched. It wouldn't be normal to assume that it was that it was just a natural thing. I'm saying it's certainly a rational thing to say, especially if he knew he was a big guy, and he knew he was a good guy, and he knew he was doing like Yibud Avayim, and he knew he made a sacrifice, and he knew... I'm not saying he could say with 100% certainty, but I think it would be a better assumption to say that it was that there's schar than to say that he just got lucky. I mean, you can't say 100%, but I'd say that's what he held. He assessed the situation. That's what he assessed. He assessed that the odds are so unlikely, and you know there is such a thing called schar. You know there's a thing like that, and you know that a guy does mitzvahs or a guy lives in line with ideas of perfection, he'll be assisted in his pursuit. And here he went, did this great task of Kibud Avayim, and he gave up all his money in the world for it, and he basically could have been a millionaire, and he didn't be, and now he all of a sudden gets a shot, which no one gets. It's crazy, you know. Why would they give all the money in the world for it? Because these things they never happen, you know. So apparently he assessed that this was schar. That was his assessment, that it wasn't just a freak occurrence, but it was schar. Now, the thing is, though, a person naturally doesn't want to feel that. A person likes to feel like, it's like saying it's schar is like he got helped, you know? Like, I wants to feel like it's his own thing. Like he, you know,
it's
a lucky break, it's all in him. Like, he got lucky, he got, you know what I mean? A person, even though a guy likes to feel like God's helping him, but he also likes to feel like he's independent and he told, you know, he put himself in a good thing, yes. He herded his cows well, he did good breeding techniques, and he, you know. And yeah, I got lucky. There's a guy feels like likes to feel that way.
The wealthy.
There's an atheist in the foxhole. But yeah, Vayishman Yishur Mayevat, right? And as the apostle says, you get rich, and then all of a sudden you start to deny God. You think, yeah, everything's me. The guy likes to feel everything's me, you know. So the thing is that he knew, so that he realized that there's a tendency in the person to really to deny the fact that it's schar. Okay? There's a tendency in a person to deny that it's schar. And he knew about that. He knew that he would could fall prey to that, and to really to feel like it's him, because that's an emotion a person has. So it could be what he did is he, in order to demonstrate, and I'd say more to himself. I mean, I don't see why he's demonstrating things to. I mean, more for himself, to prevent himself from falling prey to that trap. He did he took the amount of money was exactly commensurate with the amount of money that he gave up. You know what I mean? Because of the mitzvah. So he brings it, as in his mind now, he has $600,000, not because he got lucky, but because he gave up $600,000 because of Kibud Avayim. So in his mind now, notice that the sum causes it that prevents him from dissociating the way the money from the cause of the money, the schar. You know what I mean? Because of the notice, if he would charge a different amount of money, then it would he'd be able to dissociate it psychologically, and he'd be able to relate to it as if it's he earned the money, it's an unlucky thing, you know, it's a good break. But he wanted to hold fast to the true idea, because he held that's true, you know? And so that's why he specifically wanted to do it, to link it up. Now, also, if you say, how much is the Paraduma worth? See, I think if it really were worth a certain amount of money, then I think he'd charge that amount of money. That's the amount of money. But I think he's saying is that I know that really I could ask you for any amount of money. It's infinite. There's no, the Kaisel needs the thing, and that's it. There's no amount of money you can charge for it. So any amount of money is arbitrary. There's no... Any dollar, you can say $1 billion, well, maybe 2 million. There's no dollar amount. There is no value. It doesn't have a value. It's priceless.
Literally,
it's priceless.
There's literally only priceless. One thing.
Exactly. It's literally priceless. So that being the case, so he held that the amount of money he should choose should be reflecting the concept of what he, you know, because any choice you have to choose based on something. So he chose based on the concept of expressing the nature of why he has it, and that's an expression. Well, that's one thing it expresses, and then it helps him in terms of his perfection. I mean, totally like is what I just said, you know what I mean? But it could be, if it really had a price, then I don't know if you'd have to, he's saying you'd charge different prices. I mean, this is what it didn't have a price. And he's saying it doesn't have a price, you have to choose. So the choice reflects, demonstrates the concept of why he has it. And the schar is basically saying is that a guy is not going to lose money for doing the mitzvah. Well, that's, I guess, what it's showing, you know, is that that schar is he did the mitzvah kibud avayim, and he, by doing it, he really gave up $600,000. He's saying the schar was that he didn't lose the money. He said he didn't, even though sometimes the mitzvahs, you know, may look like you're losing out in a certain regard, and saying is the schar what to him was that, and that's what I guess he was showing, is that, that he, you're not losing out. You know, you're not gonna, he wasn't losing out from doing it. You know, I mean, that's an idea in schar mitzvahs, you know, like in stucco, you know, like, you're not gonna lose out by stucco. But it sounds like he's saying that was the idea that he was expressing, that an idea in schar was, is that he got the money that he would have, if he wouldn't have done the mitzvah, he would have had 6,000. He got that money anyways. He didn't lose out by not, you know, by not doing it. The other thing, by the way, about the father, the other thing about waking up his father. So the thing is, like, if you'd say, is that maybe, I think my father would like it or something, you know what I mean? Like that type of thing. It's like, he'd prefer it. I mean, one question you could say is, look, who's to say your father would prefer it? I don't know, maybe not, maybe he wouldn't. Who's to say? And even if he would, it's just saying is the father, in terms of the father's needs themselves, the father's sleeping. The father wants to be asleep. You know what I mean? You're just saying is that the father understands that you want to make a lot of money, and therefore he'd be considerate of your needs. You know what I mean? But if you really just get into, it's my need versus my father's need. My father's need for sleep and my need for money. So it's true my father might be mochel and might, you know, but still, it's not my father's need for me to wake him up. It's my need for me to wake him up. Unless you say I'm going to start giving him the money, or you know, that's different than chash. But I'm saying is that it's not, the father may let you do it because he's saying is that I'll let you put your need in front of mine. You know what I mean? But still, you're by waking him up, you're paining him. It is an action of paining him. You know what I mean? So you have no right to do that for your need. You know what I mean? Or at least it would be an expression of the significance of him by not waking him up. You know what I mean? Because it's still, objectively, that is an expression that his needs are much more important than my needs. You know what I mean? It's a good question, halachically, whether he'd be allowed to assume mechila. Because, I mean, it would seem that a guy would be mechila. I mean, a guy, especially the average guy who knows his father, he'd know that, you know. That's a common question. Like, when could you assume mechila? I guess you have to buy other things also, but you want to borrow guys or whatever, you know. I guess a different question. But I don't think that's important here, because here it's not a halachic question. Here it's expressing the significance. So in terms of his significance, it's his need is to sleep, and my need is to make money. So I'm showing that his smallest need is greater than my greatest need. Okay? Okay. We'll do after this is we're going to go into this thing of the Mitzvosa. So on this thing, you'll read the Gemara. We've got the Mitzvosa. You see, the Gemara's Haminoskana there. There's the Tosvos. Okay. The low, Gadol Mitzvosa, that one. So there's two issues. One question is, why is Mitzvosa greater or not greater? Hamin Oskana there. And then there's a different question comes up about brachos. About making brachos, that's something where you're not a mitzvah. It's a big question about women making brachos, let's say, and if they do a mitzvah. Say a woman sits in a sukkah, she should make a mitzvah. Oh, a brachos. All kinds of Sushiman Gavas come up. So that's a different aspect. But I think we'll start off just, what's the idea? You see, there's a Tosus here. I think there's a Ran and maybe a Ritva. I think there's a Ran or a Ritva also.
So just the first.
Start off for tomorrow. We'll try to do the Gemara and that Tosus of Gadol, and there's the Ritva. The Ritva and the Tosus of Rash. They say different pshat. I think it's the same pshat. But you can look at both of them. Ritva and Tosus of Rash, and the other pshat. Yeah, the Ritva. The Ritva is two pshatim, I think. You look at the Ritva and Tosus of Rash. Ritva, Tosus of Rash, and Tosus.